Good evening, everyone. We're here on Instagram Live. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. We just wait and give everyone some time to join on. Thank you so much, Shriya, for joining. Parameshwari, Yoga with Viviana. Amazing to see you all. And really, really appreciate you taking the time. I'm off on my way to Italy. We're heading on Thursday morning to Pisa. We're going to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And then we're going to head to our temple there in Florence. We're going to be in Bologna. So anyone out there from Italy, give us a shout out and we hope to see you there. Thank you all for joining. Amazing. Vish joining from South America. Amazing. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Argentina, lost in the supermarket. Amazing. Nice to see everyone. Saloni, thanks for joining. It was great to be with you at Parliament. Chintu, thank you for all your encouraging and kind words. Casey Sock National, thank you for joining. Always organizing so many incredible events. And Urvi, Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Nice to see so many of you joining. Yeah, so it's been an eventful few weeks, as many of you know. About 3 weeks ago, I found out that my spiritual teacher, who had been diagnosed with cancer in the middle of last year, he was his condition was declining. And so I kind of cancelled all of my travels and I headed towards India at the end of February. And it was an incredibly moving time, the last 3 weeks. I managed to spend those last few weeks with him. And it was an incredibly intense time, but an incredibly inspirational time as well. A real life reaffirming time. Many lessons, much inspiration, and to really see the journey of someone who has lived life in devotion and then comes to their final days and leaves the world with incredible grace and resilience. So it's been an amazing journey, and I got associated with my spiritual master, Karamakanana Swami. I think the first time I met him was in the early 2000s. Well over 20 years ago. But I didn't formally become his student until 2008. That's when I formally became his student. And he gave me the name Sutapa Das. And for many years, I studied under him, learned under him, was inspired and guided by his great spiritual vision and his broad-mindedness. And back last year, it's coming up to 1 year now, he also encouraged me to take the next step in my journey and gave me the name S.B. Keshava Swami. So really, so much of my life was and has been built upon his incredible encouragement and inspiration. So it's been a time to really reflect on that and feel grateful for that. So appreciate everything I receive. So today we're going to be doing some questions and answers. So if you have any questions, then please put them in the... There's a kind of function here on Insta where you kind of put your questions there. Because like when you put them in the comments, then it's difficult to scroll through and see it. So if you do have questions, which I hope you will, because we're here to try and have a bit of questions and answers, then please do put your questions in the question panel. I'm not quite sure how to do that because I've never done it myself, but I'm sure you guys will all figure it out. And let's begin by kind of exploring where we go tonight. Let me begin by seeing some questions that have come in on online. And then that will give you guys a bit of time to put your questions here. So yeah, I've got a lot of different questions here today, and it's interesting because some of these questions, they're quite personal, and they're not directly, well, they're not directly seem to be related to spirituality, but let's see if I can draw some spiritual lessons out of them. So someone is asking me, what was your favorite subject at school? I don't know what my favorite, I can't think of my favorite subject at school, but I think the subject I was best at was maths. And I think if I reflect on myself, I have this kind of mathematical intelligence. I'm not that intelligent, but I do, my intelligence goes more in the mathematical direction. So therefore, I'm always kind of looking for patterns. I'm looking for systemization. I'm looking for logical formulas. I'm looking at how we can look at the past and predict for the future. So I kind of have this kind of mathematical intelligence. So I was always, somehow or other, I always got good grades in maths. And I was reflecting on how that mathematical intelligence probably reflects in the way I share spiritual wisdom as well. You might see that what I try to present to the world is often quite systematic, quite structured. And I try to give things in a very, hopefully, a very logical way. And I think that's very nice to share wisdom like that in a way that can be digested and bite-sized. But I just wanted to say one other thing with that, that over time I did realize that sharing wisdom in that way did have its limitations. Because there is a process of spirituality, but then there are people, there is personality, and it's not one size fits all. So over my years in sharing spiritual wisdom, I've had to kind of temper my mathematical intelligence and trying to do it in a very systematic, orderly, kind of formulaic way, and bring in some more heart, bring in some more individuality, bring in some more personalism, bring in some more sensitivity. And I really found that when I added that element in, then I was able to reach people's hearts in a bigger way. So yeah, favorite subject, you could say maths, mathematical intelligence, but now trying to bring a lot more heart to the whole endeavor of sharing spirituality. So wow, amazing. So we've already got like 14 questions here. So I am going to start trying to plow through some of these questions. And yeah, thank you to everyone who's joining from different places. All right, let's see what kind of questions we got. And here we got Chinmay, who's asking an interesting question. I'm into astrology. Would love to know your birthday and birth time. Oh my goodness me. It's interesting. I had so many opportunities in my life to get my astrology done, and by really good astrologers, and I'm sure Chinmay, you're also right up there. But I have to be very honest with you, I've always avoided doing my astrology. I'm not against astrology. I'm not suggesting that nobody should get their astrology done. I think astrology can be utilized in a very effective way. But for me personally, I've always avoided doing my astrology. Now you may ask why that is. I think it's a very personal choice. But for me, I just felt as though if I went too deep into my astrology, then I would start limiting myself. I would start getting into a mindset of thinking that, I don't have power, or I can't change things, or I can't be designing my own destiny. And I just felt as though I wasn't in the right space to be able to utilize that in a way which wouldn't become limiting to me. And so for many years I've avoided doing my astrology. And so far it's been okay. I think I've done okay, but it can be utilized in many, many situations. But I would say if you're doing your astrology, a few things are really, really important. First thing is make sure you have all your information correct, otherwise you won't get the right chart done. I think the second thing is, you know, go to someone who really knows the art and perhaps get it done by a few different individuals. I think the third thing is you have to be open, and you don't just go into your astrology with a fixed mindset of wanting to discover something or wanting to confirm something, but you have to really go with an open heart and accept, you know, what kind of information comes to you in an open way. And I think the fourth thing is realize that your astrology is not the all-in-all, that spirituality can transcend astrology in the sense that your astrology doesn't mean you're kind of blocked in your life, or you can't achieve certain things, or you won't be able to progress in certain ways. Don't allow astrology to limit you, but use the information of astrology to empower you to kind of make a more conscious direction in your life. So thanks, Chinmoy, for the offer. Really appreciate it. Yeah, interesting. Astrology is a super interesting subject. Appreciate that. Shruti is asking a really pertinent question. She's asking, how does one deal with loved ones aging and deteriorating in front of our eyes? I think the first thing is when we see that, and when we see someone going through that, I think it's a beautiful opportunity to serve. Being a caregiver, being able to help someone in the final stages of their life, being able to really support and give that love and kindness when people are in that difficult stage where things are deteriorating. I think it's the greatest gift of service one can be given. I've had the fortune in the last few years of being close to various individuals who have gone through those final stages of their lives, and having the opportunity to be with them through that journey, and trying to be selfless in serving them and assisting them in that time, I found was just such an incredible experience. Something that really develops you on a deeper level. So when you see that, then rise to the occasion and try to embrace the opportunity to serve. And know that when you give the best of yourself to such individuals when they really need it, it will really bring out the best in yourself. So I was doing a podcast yesterday, and we were talking about caregivers and how they're such amazing, it's such an amazing thing to do. So yeah, for everyone out there on the call who's kind of looking after the elderly, or you know, your parents or your grandparents, or those who are in physical conditions where their health is going down, really a great appreciation to all of you. It's an amazing thing. I think when you're doing that and you see people going through that, I think you have to spend time uplifting, empowering, enthusing, and nourishing yourself. And that means nourishing yourself with physical energy, nourishing yourself with mental space, so that you can be mentally recharged, and nourishing yourself spiritually so that you can have higher wisdom and deeper vision and broader a broader sense of life. And when you're nourished physically, mentally, and spiritually, and then you go in to help someone, you can really, really give them amazing things. So I think for caregivers, also take that time to invest in yourself. That's what I would say. And I think the third thing is that when you're faced with that situation use that as a very reflective time for yourself. Srila Prabhupada, our teacher, when he was in his final days, he actually wanted his whole journey of his final days to be recorded. And he said, this will be my final lesson to the world of how to leave the world and how to face the inevitable fact that each one of us will have to depart. And I think when you're seeing someone going through that, it's an amazing opportunity to reflect deeply on your own life and what you want to do in your life and how you will eventually come to those final days, but how you want to arrive to those final days so that when you leave this world, you won't have any regrets or any sense of disappointment. So yeah, it's a great opportunity. And yeah, really, really take it up, Shruti. And just see how many, many wonderful gifts will come from that. Guys, you have amazing questions. This is so beautiful. There's such a wide array of questions of different things. Let's take this one. Ren World is asking, what is the most important thing to consider when choosing a spiritual master or a spiritual teacher? Wow, such a beautiful question. There are passages and passages in the ancient literatures which talk about how to actually make that relationship with a guru. The first thing I want to say is that we can have many spiritual teachers in our life. It's not just one. And so I would say the first step in finding your formal guru, who is the one you're going to take your most guidance from, is the first step is take guidance from many others. Those around you, those who are on the journey with you, just take their help, and through their help and guidance you can evolve yourself more. And as you evolve yourself, you'll develop the vision to actually find out who is your spiritual master. In essence, your spiritual master is one who, I say it in this way often, a spiritual master is one who knows the way, who goes the way, and who can show you the way. So the first thing you look for in a spiritual master is one who knows the way, one who has wisdom, one who has knowledge, one who has insights, someone who can answer your questions, someone who, when they deliver the teachings, it seems to address your needs, your interests, your concerns. In other words, someone who knows the philosophy and they have a sense in which they know you, so that when they're communicating that philosophy, it just connects. That's the first thing. But it's not just that. It's not just an intellectual thing being a spiritual teacher. A spiritual teacher also has to, they go the way. In other words, they live that wisdom. You see that their life is a living representation of everything they teach. They walk the talk. They practice what their precepts are. And in that way, they're a living example of all of these beautiful things that they share. But not just that, they show the way. They have an ability to make that spiritual journey and that spiritual attainment something very tangible, something very practical, and something very achievable in your life. When you hear them, you don't just think this is great, they're great, but you think if I can do this and also become great, because they have an ability to show you your path and how you can walk that path. So when you come across an individual like this who knows the way, who goes the way, and who shows you the way in such a way that you feel incredibly empowered and enthused and inspired, then there's a good chance that that's going to be your spiritual teacher. So yeah, keep a lookout, you know, and see when they may appear. I first met my spiritual teacher, my guru, Kadambakananda Swami, in the early 2000s. But it's interesting, I didn't become his formal student until 2008. And so there was a period of 8 years where I was just developing myself and becoming, becoming more qualified to be a student. So we have to also do that when we want to find our spiritual teacher. We also first have to become good students, and then providence and divinity and destiny opens up the doors so we can find our spiritual teacher. So Ren World, good luck. I'm sure you will very, very soon find your spiritual teacher. Lots of questions coming in. Let's see what else we can explore. Gayatri is asking an interesting question. How can we best be instruments of service? Wow, that's such a beautiful question. How can we best be instruments of serving others? I think the first thing, and probably the most important thing, is to remove our ego from the situation. Service means it's all about the other person. It's all about their needs, their interests, their concerns. Service means there's no agenda, there's no motivation, there's no personal benefit that you're trying to get out of this. I think there's a sense in which when you remove your ego from the situation, you can do incredible things and touch people's hearts in incredible ways and also make incredible, achieve incredible things in the world. But when we compromise ourselves by having some motivation or some expectation or some kind of personal desire, then we're not able to achieve that purity of giving. So the most important thing in being an instrument of service is to try to remove your ego from the situation and really just try to help people and realize it's not about me, it's about them. And that's not easy, but it's the essence of being a good instrument. I'm just seeing a question here, which is really interesting, and I'm just going to address it. Obe is asking, it says, hope this question is not rude. No, not at all. Be open. Whatever you like to ask is absolutely amazing. And you're asking, why do you paint the dot on your nose? What does that mean? This is clay, sacred clay from a holy place in India. And every single day and multiple times a day, we apply these markings to our body. The first thing is that we recognize that the body, as Gayatri was saying, is an instrument of service, is a temple of God, is a gift that we've been given to make the world a better place, make other people's lives a better place, to serve divinity. And so the body is very much honored as a great gift. And what we do every single day is we mark the body as a temple of God, as a temple of divinity. And so we do these markings with this clay on 12 parts of the body. And you can just see the one visible on the forehead, which is the most prominent. And the two lines represent the divine person, the supreme, however we define and refer to that supreme person. We call him Krishna. And so these two lines represent the 2 feet of Krishna, or the 2 feet of God. And this is supposed to be a leaf, Sometimes it looks more like a dot, but it's supposed to be a leaf. And the leaf represents the devotee, the servant who sits at the feet, at the feet of God in a very humble way, ready to serve, ready to give, ready to sacrifice, ready to be flexible, fearless, and fully available for whatever adventures divinity wants to take them on. And so we kind of mark the body in this way just to remind ourselves that this is our identity, this is our aspiration, and this is what our life is meant for. So I hope that helps. Thank you so much for being brave enough for answering your questions. Mahi is joining us from India. Amazing. Well, it must be really late in India. Are you like up right in the middle of the night? That's yeah, amazing. Technology brings us together at all hours of the day. Thank you so much. So, Mukund, I got to take a question from Mukund, because Mukund's someone who has really helped me to be here on social media. He's a mastermind behind so many things, and of course there's an amazing team that all really helped me, and my gratitude to them. So Mukund is asking, what do you mean by wisdom that breathes? So everywhere where you look on our websites and on our pages, you'll see the tagline, wisdom that breathes. And what do I mean by that? I think in the world today, a lot of wisdom has become lost. A lot of wisdom has become forgotten. A lot of wisdom is no longer utilized, because the teachers of that wisdom haven't been able to make it available, relevant, applicable, and accessible to the people of the time. Wisdom has to be preserved, but wisdom also has to be communicated in a way that relates to the changing culture, the changing pressures, the changing needs, interests, and concerns of the world, which is changing at breakneck speed. And so I think many wisdom teachers have done amazing things to preserve the wisdom, but I think we lack wisdom teachers in the world who are simultaneously, with preserving that wisdom, able to then relate it, communicate it, and connect it to the times that we live in. And so that's a humble thing that I'm trying to do. I don't claim to be an expert, but that is my ambition, to teach wisdom that breathes. In other words, I hope what I'm delivering you is the real McCoy, the real deal, authentic spiritual wisdom, straight from the words of the sages, straight from the scripts of the Sanskrit texts from thousands of years ago. I hope it's authentic. I trust it's authentic. But I'm also trying to present it in a language, in a in a certain way in which you can do something with it, in which you can go out tomorrow and look at life differently, and basically breathe it, live it, apply it, and share it, and feel like, yeah, I want to also tell other people about this, because it's bringing life into my life, and it can bring life into other people's life. So that's a little bit about wisdom that breathes. We want to share wisdom that's authentic, but wisdom that's also incredibly applicable and addresses the needs, interests, and concerns of the day. We've got so many questions here. Where do I go? Okay, let's see. Here there's a question. Verma is asking, can you explain guru worship and what it means when we say the guru is non-different to Krishna or divinity. Beautiful question, yeah. In ancient Eastern theology specifically, but not just Eastern, in theologies across the world, there is a great reverence and a great respect and a great honor that's given to spiritual teachers. We bow down to spiritual teachers. We write homages to spiritual teachers. We pray to spiritual teachers. And sometimes even within our scriptures, it says spiritual teachers are as good as God. So why so much respect? Why so much worship? Why so much honor? They're just humans after all. So it's a great question. The first thing, Srila Prabhupada, who was a spiritual teacher, who was honored and respected in great ways because he did great things, he once said that the spiritual master is as good as God. But if the spiritual master thinks that he is God, then he becomes the reverse. God, G-O-D, becomes D-O-G, a dog. In other words, they lose their position, they lose their respect. So a guru never thinks themselves God, a guru never thinks themselves exalted, a guru never feels as though they're special in any way. A guru is very humble, a guru is very dependent on divinity. A guru is just seeing themselves as an instrument. And in that way, a guru is actually empowered to be a transparent via medium to connect people to transcendence and divinity. So from the guru's part, they never see themselves as special. They never see themselves as worthy of respect. But from the student's side, they see that by the grace of the guru, by the teachings of the guru, by the encouragement and empowerment of the guru, that they are able to make quantum leaps in their spirituality. I can say for myself, I was practicing this spiritual process for many years, as I mentioned, without a formal guru. And no doubt I was making progress, but at the point at which I accepted a formal teacher and allowed myself to open my heart in a deeper connection with that teacher, I found that I started making quantum leaps in my journey. I started finding that the guru was able to open up worlds, open up opportunities, open up aspects of my potential that I never knew were there. And because the guru is almost like that person who holds a master key to open up potential and opportunity in your spiritual journey, the guru is honored with great respect, with great reverence. And the guru is honored as good as God, because it's by their gifts that we achieve divinity and elevate ourselves to that spiritual perfection. And so we always remember our gurus. In a beautiful verse, it said in a prayer to the guru, and I'll say it in Sanskrit, Mukham karoti vachalam pangam langhayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. In this beautiful verse, it said, a lame person can cross mountains, a blind person can see stars in the sky, and one who is unable to speak can begin composing eloquent verses. How? By the possibility of having the mercy of a spiritual teacher. And so spiritual teachers unlock a certain potential that take us to another level. And therefore, if we are able to connect with such a person, then we are truly blessed in many, many ways. So thank you for that question. Very, very pertinent question. Oh my God, there's so much here. Let me see. What should I pick next? There's a practical question here. Someone's asking, am I going to the festival in Simhachalam, Germany in May? I really, really wanted to, but I'm not going to be able to be there in May because I'm going to be in Germany in April. So just to give everyone a call, a sense of where we're traveling to in the coming weeks. On Thursday, I'm going to Italy for a week. We're going to be in Florence, Pisa, Bologna, connecting there. Italian cuisine, Italian spiritual food is amazing, so we'll get a bit of that as well. And then we'll be back in the UK at the beginning of April for a few days, and then we're heading to Germany. We're going to be in Frankfurt, then we're going to go to Cologne, then we're going to go to Berlin, and then we're going to be back for 2 or 3 days, and then we're going to Brussels, Belgium, then we're going to Amsterdam, and then from there we're going to our spiritual community in Belgium, Radadesh. And then we'll be back for a few days in May, and then on the 8th of May we'll be traveling to sunny East Africa. So we'll be in Kenya, Nairobi, Kisumu, Eldoret. So it's a busy time, dotting around and just trying to keep busy. So yeah, hopefully we'll catch some of you. Norway's in the plan for sure, Switzerland's in the plan. India's in the plan again, so yeah, looking forward to being with everyone. So yeah, thank you so much. So that's just a little bit about where we're going to be, where we're going to be going. Keep everything live. Yeah, for sure, we'll try to have everything. I just want to give a shout out also to Nihal is the person is tolerating me. We're traveling together. We've been traveling together for quite a few months, and he's the one that records everything. So please give him your best wishes. Give him a shout out. I think he's watching today as well. So give him a shout out and give him a big thanks. He's like diligently putting it all. He has to listen to me every single day on his computer and edit it. So he's very, very tolerant. So yeah, thank you so much. Coming to France, yes. I was with Lochan and Gandharvika this morning and we were talking about coming to France. So thank you so much. All right, let's take another question. Let's see what's on your hearts, what's in your minds. Let's see. Oh God, I'm just trying to find a question. It's so hard to pick these questions because there's so much amazing. Okay, let's see. I'm just trying to pick something different. Okay. Reheath is asking. R.Y. Heath. I hope I didn't say it wrong. Hare Krishna, Keshava Swami, I'm going to Vrindavan in November on the Radhika retreat for the first time. I'm only a year and a half into Krishna consciousness. Okay, and then how should I behave and approach people? Any tips? Well, what I want to say is that Vrindavan is your home. Vrindavan is going back to home, back to the eternal spiritual world, the playground of God. So in Vrindavan, you'll fit right in, you'll find your friends there, you'll find all these amazing, inspired spiritual people. And you'll be with Radhika and the team, so you'll have a great company around you. And, you know, what I would say is that when you go to Vrindavan for the first time, then just let yourself soak up the atmosphere. A lot of it will be new. A lot of it will be heart-touching. A lot of it will be maybe stuff that you didn't expect. But that's okay. Just be open and go as a blank slate. And on the journey, you'll learn, you know, how to be there, how to get the most out of it. But just, I would say the most important thing is just go there with an open heart, go there with the mind of being a learner, go there and ask loads of questions, be with the other spiritualists on your journey, walk with them through the whole experience. And there's nothing to be worried about, except like don't drink the tap water and be careful where you eat. That's the two things you should be scared about, because you don't want to get sick. But apart from that, just be open-hearted and don't have any intrepidation. It might feel like a different culture, it might feel like a different world, and you may feel very alien, but very, very quickly you'll fit in, because Vrindavan is the land of the heart. Vrindavan is the land of devotion, bhakti, and the heart and emotion, bhakti, this transcends all cultural barriers. So sometimes we feel like there's a cultural barrier and going to a place like, I've not been to India, I don't know the language, I don't know the customs, and we feel like there's a cultural barrier. But the language of the heart, the devotion of the heart, singing together, dancing together, discussing together, and serving together, you'll see that it overcomes all of those barriers and you'll have an amazing time. And yes, also watch out for the monkeys. Because the monkeys, yeah, they can also, you know, they can also play tricks with you, and have a few bananas in case they steal your glasses, if you wear glasses, that is. So yeah, thank you so much for joining. We've been on for 41 minutes. We've had like over 100 of you on the call. I'm really excited just to connect, reconnect with all of you. And I'm going to be saving all these questions. And, you know, because we didn't get through all of them today. But, you know, we are going to kind of address them. And let me finish with one question here. Let's finish with a question. Jagannath is my good friend. He's a great singer. Catch him on Instagram. He's a real sharer and carer in the bhakti movement. And he's asking, what have been some of your realizations over the last couple of weeks, observing and going, walking through that experience with your spiritual teacher who departed just last week? So what have been some of my reflections and realizations in this time? Many, many things. I have said something before that I'll repeat again, because the last few weeks have kind of confirmed that in the biggest way. And what I've often said on Instagram lives and on talks and different things is that the greatest gift you can have in your life is someone who has more faith in you than you have in yourself. The greatest gift you can have in your life is someone who can come into your life, and because they know you, they love you, and because they have spiritual advancement, they can create a vision for you and your life that is much greater than you could have come up with yourself. The greatest gift you can have in your life is loving, spiritual guidance and friendship from an accomplished spiritual person. And so when I look back on my journey over the last 20 years living as a monk, if there's anything good that has come, you know, over the years, we've given talks, we've authored books, we've begun projects, and hopefully in the midst of all of that, we've also internally developed ourselves and spiritually advanced. I think all of that was built upon the inspiration of my spiritual teacher and spiritual teachers. And so now that spiritual teacher is not physically present, but in our tradition, in our spiritual path, we realize that the connection with spiritual teachers transcends time and space. And therefore, we can continue to connect. We can continue to feel the presence. We can continue to draw that inspiration and support and encouragement from the spiritual teachers if we remain close, if we remain aligned in principles of how we live, if we constantly treasure the insights and the words of loving instruction that they've given us, and we hold that very sacred within ourselves, and we meditate and prioritize those things, then we feel very, very close to our spiritual teachers. And so, this is my firm conviction that everyone on the call, please try and establish as many beautiful spiritual relationships as you can. Please try and have as many people that you can go to who you can open your heart to and learn wisdom from, take feedback from, and learn from. Please invest in those relationships. Don't just think they're going to come by some kind of automatic default. Search out the saints. Because if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's that the saints are not people of the past. The saints are not just the ones we read about in the scriptures from 5,000 years ago. The saints are not just the ones who we see statues of in prominent places around the world. The saints live amongst us. The saints walk amongst us. And the saints are continuing to exist. One of our teachers once said, "The earth cannot spin unless there are saints living on this planet." Because the earth spins, because the earth is a facility for everyone to ultimately reach transcendence. But you can't reach transcendence unless there are saintly people to help you. And therefore, there'd be no point of the earth spinning. There'd be no point of the earth being present if saintly people weren't present, because it's the saints that take us there. So search out those saints. You don't know who they are. You don't know. They could be young, they could be old, they could be a man, they could be a woman, they could be in any culture, in any tradition. They may be monks, they may be people living out there, they could be in the corporate world, or they could be a simple postman or a shopkeeper. But the saints are there. So try to find those personalities who have developed genuine purity, genuine selflessness, and genuine divine connection. And know that your relationship with such saintly people is what defines how much spiritual wealth you'll be able to develop in your journey through this world. So that's a little reflection for you, Jagannath. I hope that helps. And thank you to all of you for just like being here, for like connecting, and just for being so encouraging. I shared a message from Vrindavan, and I was just really appreciating that so many of you put a comment, you put a kind, a heart or a clap, or and all of that encouragement, it means so much to us. It gives us the energy to continue trying to do what we do. By your open-hearted kindness, I'm learning to be a bit more open-hearted myself. So thanks so much for just everything. And we hope to really connect with everyone very, very soon. And thank you for all your invitations to travel around the world. It feels like we have a home wherever we go. In one sense, as monks, we don't have a home because we're continually traveling. But in another sense, we feel like we have a home everywhere because all of you are dotted around the world and you welcome us with open arms. So we hope to connect with all of you very, very soon. And thank you again for joining tonight. And wish you all the best. We'll be doing another Instagram live soon, but otherwise we'll connect to you from Italy, Germany, Europe, and wherever we are. And wishing you all the best on your spiritual journey. If you want to walk far, if you want to walk fast, walk alone. But if you want to walk far, walk with many. And so let us walk together on this path and discover more and more spiritual jewels on the journey. All the best, everyone. We'll see you soon. Take care, and thanks for joining. Really, really appreciate it.